Welcome to the October 2009 podcast for Neurosurgical Focus. I'm Joanne Eliason. The theme of this issue is intraoperative neuromonitoring, and the interviewer is topic editor Michael Feelings of the Division of Neurosurgery, Department of Surgery and Spinal Program, University of Toronto. Joining Dr. Feelings is Lorenzo Bello of the University Vita e Salute in Milan. He is a co-author of the article, Intraoperative Mapping and Monitoring of Brain Functions for the Resection of Low-Grade Gliomas, Technical Considerations.
Dr. Bello, welcome to this podcast for Neurosurgical Focus.
Thank you very much.
Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself and about your unit by way of introduction?
Yes, I'm associate professor at the University of Milano. I'm working in the oldest neurosurgical department of Italy, that is the surgical clinic in Milano, and I'm in charge of the oncology program, and my main focus is image-guided surgery and monitoring and brain tumor surgery. Our center has a large program in neuro-oncology, and particularly in treatment of low-grade glioma. In the last 4 years, we have treated around 400 cases. And the result of this series has been put in the article that we have submitted to Neurosurgical Focus.
In the article, you describe a unique paradigm for the surgical treatment of low-grade gliomas. And I wonder whether you might be able to highlight a few of the key points in this surgical paradigm.
Actually, I will say that this is the European protocol because in Europe we have a group that is called the European Low-Grade Glioma Network. It's a group of people that is in different countries of Europe, mainly France, Germany, and Spain, England. And more or less all of us have the same protocol. And the protocol is composed of a preoperative part in which we are looking at the patient. We are examining the patient by a neuropsychological evaluation, that is a critical point, and also with a neuroradiological part, which include the standard and the volumetric MR, plus fMR and DTI. And DTI-fMR is one of the features of our center.
Could you perhaps describe in a bit more detail the unique aspects of the intraoperative neurophysiological monitoring protocol?
Yes. Actually, we are lucky in this department because we have intraoperative neurophysiology unit with a neurophysiologist that is inside of the OR with a wonderful machine that allows the monitoring of and the mapping. The monitoring part is composed of EEG, EKG, that is a continuous recording, and also we have MIP, plus the mapping, that is the language and the motor and the visuospatial mapping. The neurophysiologist is in charge of looking at the EEG, EKG, and the MAP, and also to look at the changes in these parameters, and of course to tell us when we are encountering motor responses or any other kind of changes in the other parameters. This allows us to do more cases in asleep patients than in awake patients, because sometimes in Italy it's difficult to waking up all the patients, and so we adapted the standard protocol for a patient with low-grade gliomas with the neurophysiology that allows to do more asleep case and less awake case. Of course, awake is mandatory when you have language and the visuospatial function.
Right. Could you perhaps talk a little bit about the correlation between some of the sophisticated imaging, such as fMRI or DTI, and some of the electrophysiological techniques you described, for example, the direct cortical stimulation?
Yes. Actually, we have DTI since around 3 years now, and all the patient has DTI, so we are around 250-300 patients with the DTI, and we have done the correlation, and we continuously doing the correlation between neurophysiology, that is the gold standard, of course, and the intraoperative DTI. For the corticospinal tract, there is a good correlation. The only point is we are using a 3 Tesla machine to reconstruct the DTI that is performed at the San Raffaele Hospital. we are using the MORI system, the DTI studio, and one of the critical points is to choose the right FA, that is the fraction of an isotropy that is should be around 0.1 or 0.15. And with these tools, it's possible to detect and visualize very well the cortical spinal tract and the other tracts, and to have a good correlation with the intraoperative findings that in any case, of course, are the gold standard. For the cortical spinal tract, the DTI is quite good. There is usually a very good correlation. There are some problems when the tract is highly infiltrated and the bipolar stimulation is not enough, so you have to move to the monopolar one. But for the language, there are still some problems because, for example, for the SFL, not all the tract is functional, so you can take it out part of the tract. For the inferior frontoccipital one, part of the tracts are not functional, and you can take it out, but most of this tract is essential for the function.
I see. So what is the impact of this technology? In other words, do you feel that you're able to more completely resect tumors? And can you give an example of the type of lesion that you might be able to deal with now that you might not have been able to deal with, say, 10 years ago?
Usually it's possible to remove all the lesions, well, most of the lesions that are located close to the motor tract and to the language tract. The point to use this technology is the fact that you are resecting the lesion not only according to the anatomical boundaries, but according to the functional one. So you are continuing the resection at the subcortical level till when you are encountering the subcortical tracts. And so you can take a margin in most of the lesion. And by doing this, the extent of resection, of course, is increased. We are evaluating the extent of resection by volumetric flare imaging. And with this, it's possible to reach complete resection. That means no abnormalities in the flare images in around 32 to 35% of the cases. That is quite good data.
I see. So what would you say are the main limitation of the current technologies?
You need to have a very good equip. This is the main limitation because every component of the equip should be cooperating with the other. You need a surgeon that is talking very well with the neurophysiologist, that is talking very well with the neuropsychologist, that should be inside of the room, and also with the anesthetist. So you need to have a very good level of anesthesia that allow you to do a very good mapping and monitoring, and also you have to trust the neurophysiologist and the neuropsychologist that are guiding you with the patient.
Would you describe as some of the exciting future directions in the area of intraoperative monitoring for low-grade gliomas?
We are trying to move from the monitoring of the motor area and the language area, and we are going to the insula. Many insular tumors are now resected with a very good extent of resection, and the monitoring in that area is quite complex, particularly in the left, because you have to monitor not only the language but also the other part of the cognitive function. And with this monitoring, you can also go in a very deep part of the brain and to extend the knowledge of how the brain is working and how you can preserve function and take it out lesion. So there is also a part of understanding how the brain is working.
Terrific. Well, congratulations to you and your colleagues for putting together a beautiful article, which I think really summarizes the state of the art of combining neurophysiological techniques with sophisticated imaging approaches, including DTI and fMRI. And I think this really shows what is possible in the area of resecting challenging lesions from eloquent structures of the brain.
Okay, thank you very much.
This concludes our podcast. Please join us in November for a discussion on venous brain circulation and its disorders. For information on how to submit your research or view upcoming topics, please visit thejns.org and click on Call for Papers under the Neurosurgical Focus icon. You can send comments to jnspodcast@thejns.org. And you can also follow us on Twitter.